This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. At 10 o'clock, as in right after this show, we'll go to special coverage of the House Judiciary Committee. WRKF is your source for special coverage of the news events of our time, thanks to member support. So please help make it possible with your year-end gift today. Call 855-893-9753 or donate online at WRKF.org. The news here that you will hear nowhere else, and coming in a few days, as in 45 days, we'll be 40 years old. WRKF standing tall and proud on the dial at 89.3 for 40 years. And if you call that number, 855-893-9753, you'll have done a good deed for the year, and you'll be in and out in less than 89.3 seconds. We're joined by Dan Muldea, the reporter who changed the trajectory of the careers of Newt Gingrich and Bob Livingston and David Vitter. And for 44 years, he's been on the trail of the remains of James Riddle Hoffa, the Teamsters leader who disappeared in Detroit at the Red Fox Restaurant, last seen on July 30th, 1975. And there is a major new development that Dan Muldea is intricately and intimately involved in, and we'll talk with him about that. But before we get there, we've had Dan on many times, based in Washington, D.C., not far from the action where the House Judiciary Committee swings into action after the House Intelligence Committee heard witnesses. Today, four witnesses are scheduled. They are legal experts about impeachment. The one witness called by Republicans is CBS legal analyst Jonathan Turley, who in 1998 called for the impeachment of President Clinton, but now says there is not enough evidence to impeach President Trump. Dan Muldea, your thoughts?
I think the Democrats are trying to play catch up here. I think that Schiff was very smooth in the way he handled the Intelligence Committee hearings. I think his report is very persuasive. Now that it's been turned over to the Judiciary Committee, this is for real now. They're going down the impeachment road. But Jerry Nadler's not as smooth as Adam Schiff is, and he's a little more ham-fisted. And this is going to look a lot more partisan than it should. I think that Nancy Pelosi was right from the beginning, saying that we need bipartisanship on this. And, you know, I'm hoping that at the end of the day, some of the Republicans will say, I'm not afraid of the threats. I'm not afraid of Trump's base and the sheep in his flock, the cult that follows him over anything he does and supports and forgives him for anything that he does. And I think that, you know, right now this is a show trial to try to convince the American public that this is a righteous mission to impeach Trump, which, of course, I think it is. But, you know, I'm one of those people who is partisan in this thing. I've taken sides.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number as we talk with Dan Muldea. And he's partisan, but, of course, he follows the news and has information that is relevant that maybe others.
And I declare it. I declare my biases. You know, I'm very open about that. It's the people who try to pretend like they're neutral in these things that hide behind the First Amendment are the people that I'm concerned about. I'll tell you right up front, I've taken sides on this. Yeah.
Well, the Republicans have held firm. So far, no Republican has come forward to say the president should be impeached.
It's amazing.
Nobody in the House, nobody in the Senate. And in the Senate, where the ultimate action will likely be, it'll take 67 senators to confirm or to convict the president on articles of impeachment. And one of those who obviously is not going to vote for any article of impeachment is Senator John Neely Kennedy of Louisiana, and he's been going on all these national programs. He held firm yesterday to his belief that Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election, despite Intelligence Committee information claiming that information is false. In a Foreign Relations Committee hearing yesterday, Democrats used the occasion to ask Under Secretary of State for Political Affairs David Hale about possible interference by Ukraine. When asked by Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey, if the Kremlin's interference in the 2016 election was a hoax, Hale gave a one-word answer, no. He went on to say he was unaware of any evidence that Ukraine interfered in the election. But Kennedy says, I believe what I believe, Some people believe otherwise, and they're entitled to it. He is digging down and holding firm, if you will, on a position that really has no evidence to back it up. How do you explain this, Dan Moldea?
He's a Republican. I mean, he is a guy who is, you know, deeply partisan. He tries to use his folksy style to show that he's just, you know, just a country lawyer who is, you know, just embracing truth and justice. And, you know, he's just, you know, as big a whore as the others who refuse to look at the facts and to judge this case on its merits. And I'm sure you could say there are Democrats on the other side who are just the same way. But, I mean, with regard to Kennedy and his absolute total defiance of the facts with regard to Ukraine and his constant repeating of his conspiracy theory against all the evidence in the case that he's just another whore.
All right. Well, that's strong words. Now, Stephanie Grace, in her column today in The Advocate, calls him a willing dupe, saying he's gone from class clown to willing dupe regarding Senator John Neely Kennedy, who's up for re-election in 2022. And if polls are accurate, and I'm sure they are, he remains popular in Louisiana, and he is tethered to the president. He's holding on to Donald Trump for dear life, and the president will be on the ballot in 11 months. Actually,
They want his base. They want the support of Trump's base, and everyone's terrified of Trump's base. I mean, it's amazing that when I was growing up, and I'm sure many of your people in your audience were growing up, we were of the generation where we admired people who used their power and their fame and their money to help those who were unable to help themselves. Now we have a president who uses his power and money and fame to punch down, to use as his whipping boy the poorest and most powerless among us, and he has a tremendous amount of support for this. And so, you know, This is what the Republican Party has become. It's the party of Donald Trump. It's the party of social Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest. Every man, woman, and child for him or herself. And, you know, bottom line, you know, this is about race. This is about keeping people in their place. This is a return to the 40s and 50s, to the red baiting period. God forbid the fact this guy is reelected. What's going to happen? The House Un-American Activities Committee will be back. They're going to be, you know, watch reporters starting to go to jail. And, you know, I just think that the most dangerous thing in the world is for this guy to be returned to office. And one thing about the conventional wisdom in this town in Washington is that 9 out of 10 times it's wrong. And the conventional wisdom is right now that they're never going to get enough Republican support in the Senate to remove this guy. And, you know, my inclination is to sometimes you bet against the conventional wisdom, because I think some guys may stand up and say, you know, we've had enough of this. And I think the Democrats are going to pull some rabbits out of their hat between now and the end of the year.
Well, as I have stated on this show, I think that people who think that one party has a monopoly on virtue,
I agree,
they're dead wrong. And the Democrats, as we know, benefit enormously from minority support. The governor of Louisiana just won re-election as a Democrat by receiving 100,000 more votes from African Americans than he did from white citizens of Louisiana. And as we look at the Democratic candidates now who are viable contenders for the nomination, I would count five: Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, and Bloomberg. And all five have something in common. They're all white. The major candidate, right, from a minority perspective, Kamala Harris, got out of the race yesterday. How can the Democrats, with a straight face, say that there's not some kind of institutional racism in the ranks among their party?
Good point. I think that it's a matter of party and organization and getting money. I think Kamala Harris wound up leaving because she didn't have money, although I liked her coming into this campaign, but when she attacked Joe Biden as shamelessly as she did, I really lost all interest in her. The person I like Cory Booker, and I think Cory Booker is as qualified as anybody in this entire Democratic field. But Cory Booker has just done a horrible job of presenting himself, and he needs a big moment. And I think Cory Booker would be a real factor in this thing if he had a big moment. I mean, he's, you know, Harvard Rhodes Scholar. You know, I think he was an All-American football player. I mean, this is a guy with some talent, and he's a guy with some serious credentials, and I want to see him have a big moment here and reintroduce himself to, you know, certainly to the Democratic Party so that they would give him another look right now. Because the other guys, Bernie Sanders, I mean, you know, I can't stand these guys who are independents and are messing up the Democratic Party and are complaining about the Democratic Party leadership supporting traditional Democrats. And Buttigieg, he's a very talented guy, again, very good credentials, but he's a kid and he's got no experience in the big stage, and I don't see him doing that well in this campaign.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return with Dan Moldea and remind you that this is the year-end pitch to you to become a member of WRKF. And if you're a member, you can renew as well. 855-893-9753. Back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. One of our favorite guests, Dan Moldea, is with us, and he is certainly partisan, and he speaks from the left side of the political spectrum, but a great political reporter through the years, and as mentioned, his reporting has changed the careers of Newt Gingrich, Bob Livingston, and David Vitter, and he is now on the trail of the remains of James Riddle Hoffa, and we'll talk with him about that, but right now we are discussing the impeachment proceedings, and we will join the House Judiciary at 10 o'clock right after this show. You can pledge $180 and choose to receive the new limited edition WRKF and Morning Edition 40th Anniversary Commemorative Mug, plus a Morning Edition and All Things Considered folding tote bag is your thank you gift. And the number is 855-893-9753. And thanks to familiar name in this community who's been a guest on this show, Dr. Gabriela Gonzalez, Professor of Physics and Astronomy at LSU, for your contribution. 877-217-5757 is the number for Talk Louisiana, and let's go to David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on the air with Dan Moldea.
Good morning, gentlemen. As always, my favorite guest, Jim. Before I comment about Senator Kennedy, I could vote for Buttigieg with no problem. But a gay man running for president, just like in 2004, the evangelicals turned out in unbelievable numbers to vote down gay marriage. The evangelicals will turn out in unbelievable numbers to vote against Buttigieg, given this guy, you know, is a homosexual and he's very open about it. That would motivate the evangelicals like they've never been motivated. But regarding Senator Kennedy, there's an old Russian proverb.
Before you go to Senator Kennedy, what does that say about our country, if you're right?
It says we're a homophobic country.
All right.
And a prejudiced country still. You know, Senator Kennedy, there's an old Russian proverb that says, if you can't defend yourself with the facts, overwhelm your opponent with lies. And there was no mention in the London or the Financial Times regarding what Senator Kennedy said on NBC Sunday. And I forgot my second point. But this guy is an unbelievable disgrace. You know, he can lie and just embarrass himself to no end. And I just don't know what – is it because Trump is so popular in Louisiana that he's afraid of the next election? But, I mean, Trump is such a sleaze and a criminal. I can't imagine the American people not rising up against this guy.
All right, well – John Kennedy is a seasoned politician. He's no newcomer. He's 68 years old. He's a freshman.
He used to be a Democrat. Wasn't he a Democrat?
He was a Democrat until he was in his mid-50s, Dan, and he lost three elections as a Democrat.
It wasn't a youthful indiscretion for him to be a Democrat.
No, okay. as his former political consultant said, Roy Fletcher, and I think he's accurate, he said John Kennedy learned how to read a poll.
Answers David's question, your question, that answers a lot of our questions. See, these guys are looking at the polls and they are making decisions accordingly.
And believe me, Democrats poll every night in some cases, so they all look at polls. But the question is whether they will completely move from one side to the other based on what the poll is telling them. And Senator Kennedy lost as a Democrat for Attorney General in 1991. He lost as a Democrat for the U.S. Senate in 2004. He ran as a Democrat in 2003 for governor and pulled out when Bobby Jindal became the choice of Mike Foster, his mentor of sorts. And then John Kennedy ultimately lost as a Republican to Mary Landrieu before winning as a Republican for the U.S. Senate in 2016. 877-217-5757. Mike in Shenandoah. Mike, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. You're going to have to pull up Mike, and I think, Mike, I may have just disconnected you. Please call back, Mike, 877-217-5757. Mike in Shenandoah, let's go to, excuse me, it is David in Shenandoah online. Okay, there we go, David. David, go ahead.
All right, look, you know, when I see Senator Kennedy get up and talk on the television on some of these news outlets, I feel like he's just auditioning for Lorne Michaels for Saturday Night Live slot to probably bring back Al Franken's character.
Well, John Kennedy is a man who is ambitious. There is no doubt about that. And as
really?
I stated, he's running for re-election. I don't think he's running for Saturday Night Live. But don't be surprised if John Kennedy runs for president in 2024.
Really?
2024. The national media are enthralled with this man. Why is that, Dan?
Because he seems to shoot from the hip. You know, he has kind of a all the King's Men kind of thing, a Broderick Crawford, you know, Sean Penn in the remake of that film. You know, he has that kind of folksy shoot from the hip. I'll tell you where everybody stands, even if it hurts me. When in fact, you know, none of that's true. You know, like I said, this guy is going to say what his supporters want, and he wants Donald Trump supporters to love him. And everyone's following that game plan. There's not a lot of profiles of courage going on here in Washington right now, whether it's among the Republicans or even among the Democrats. But if you look at what's happening the Republicans are just refusing to acknowledge any of all this evidence that's coming out, whether it's from the intelligence report or whether it came from the earlier Mueller report, which to me was absolutely devastating. But it was so poorly rolled out. Bill Barr just wiped it out with a single press conference, and now everyone's waiting for this Inspector General's report by Horvath, and apparently that's not going to rise to what the Republicans hoped that it was going to be, and even Barr's expressing some concern about that. So, you know, the system is kind of being corrupted right now, and I think we should all, you know, stop. Take a look at what's happening and pull together for the purpose of at least bringing some truth back to this country.
All right. And there are many Republicans who agree largely that the president acted inappropriately, and they don't argue with any of the facts that are on the table regarding the president trying to do harm to a political rival. And there's very little doubt that that was what was going on with his conversations with the Ukrainian president about Joe Biden. But they say it's not to the level of impeachment. And I apologize. I think I just disconnected Jay, who'd been waiting patiently. Please call back, and we will we'll get you ahead of the pack, 877-217-5757, for one of the best reporters in all the world, Dan Moldea. And you're going to have to pull Dan up in there, Matt. There we go. Dan Moldea. This is a case in which it appears that the votes are probably there, since Democrats have a majority in the House to impeach the president, but the votes are not there to convict him, and it's almost like deja vu all over again with what we saw in 1998 with President Clinton.
Well, here we're talking about a guy who lied about sex. I mean, let's face it, he tried to conceal the fact that he had a consensual affair with a young woman, and he was trying to spare his family the embarrassment and everything else. And, you know, and the attack by Ken Starr and his prosecutorial goon squad was to double down on that and to, you know, try to present as much embarrassing material detail as they possibly could, which is why when Larry Flynt called me and said, "Hey, Dan, you want to come aboard with us and go and on our hypocrisy campaign?" I said, "You got it, man. Let's go."
All right. Jay in Mid-City. Jay, you're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea. Hi, Jay.
Hello. Senator Kamala Harris dropped out the campaign because she couldn't get African-American support.
And it's a new growing population of African-American voters out here now that is not going to just vote Democratic. We're going to listen to both parties. And right now, President Trump has the ear of the African-American population due to immigration, with Democrats are speaking loud about supporting illegal immigrants coming over here for, I mean, just taking all the jobs and health care. And here African-Americans have been the sole backbone of the Democratic Party and don't address nothing on our agenda. And President Trump will be the first president to probably get 25% of the African-American vote.
President Trump will not get 25% of the African-American vote. He may not even get 5% of the African-American vote. He didn't in 2016. He only got 46% of the national vote. His opponent got 48%, but the president still won. And there are pollsters who say the president could lose by 10 million votes and still win the election in the Electoral College. We'll talk about what's going on in Washington and with Jimmy Hoffa, with Dan Moldeo, when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and thanks to our producers, Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries, for keeping us on the air. And we're ready to go. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. The WRKF in New Orleans Public Radio News Collaborative have received a challenge grant from Report for America to fund a reporter position. We need to raise $10,000 from our community of listeners to meet that challenge. And when you give your year-end gift of $180 or whatever amount works best for you, please consider giving an additional one-time gift toward meeting this challenge to help grow local news. Again, the number, no matter what you contribute, it will be much appreciated. You'll get in and out in 89.3 seconds or less, 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. Dan Moldeo with us for a bit longer. We're talking about the impeachment hearing, and at 10 o'clock we will join the House Judiciary Committee. John in Mississippi. John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, John. All right, let's try. Let's keep John and see if we can make contact. We'll go to Steve in Denham Springs. Steve, good morning. You are on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldeo.
Hey, I'm just curious. Do y'all know how long this impeachment process is going to take? I mean, you think they're going to be, it's going to shuffle through the Senate in the springtime, or, I mean, is it going to keep on going? I mean, as far as going to the vote.
You're already getting tired of it, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, I would imagine people
he
like...
He sounds like one of the sheep in Trump's flock. With
maybe
respect,
not.
It's going to go on as long as it goes on. I mean, it's, the Democrats have a big responsibility here. They've got a lot of information they have to share. But I think they want to get to it. They want to get to it quickly. I don't think they want to go into 2020 with the impeachment vote hanging. Remember, impeachment is an indictment. The House could do that by themselves. The votes are there to do it. The real action is going to be when they go for trial. Remember, Bill Clinton was impeached, and he was indicted, and then he had to stand trial at the Senate. And so there will be, I believe there's going to be an impeachment by the end of the year, and then they will go to the Senate trial in January, and then we will, see how this all plays out there.
John in Mississippi, we're going to give you another shot. John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I did want to make a comment. I think the Democrats need to back up, leave our president alone. Obama, Joe Biden, and Nancy, all of them need to back up. This president's done more for our country than any of them so far.
Now, why do you say he's done more for our country, John, in Mississippi?
Well, it's a lot of reasons, but, they are wasting tax. They have wasted taxpayers' dollars before he was even elected. They are the ones that are a threat to our country. They're trying to destroy the United States. They need to get out of the United States if they don't like it.
Well, didn't the Republicans do the same thing to President Obama?
No, Obama wasn't brought up on the...
Well, maybe there was no evidence to bring him up on impeachment, but Mitch McConnell, from the day he took office, said his goal was to defeat him and to make sure his agenda was unsuccessful. He only got he only got one vote on the Affordable Care Act from a Republican.
Yeah,
it was from Joe Gao in New Orleans. What? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said, he'd done a lot. He should have been impeached on.
What did he do? Did he conspire with a foreign power against a political adversary? Did President Obama ever do that, John?
Look back. I mean, him and they done a lot of stuff. They need to leave our president alone.
All right. John in Mississippi votes, I suspect, and calls this show, and thank God he does. But, Dan, I suspect people like John in Mississippi and whoever is in Louisiana who has the same feelings, they have the ear of Senator John Neely Kennedy and Senator William Morgan Cassidy, right, who will vote to protect the president.
I say, after listening to John, I say to everybody, and I think we all agree, God bless the First Amendment.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, yeah, Obama and Biden both conspired with foreign governments. Obama used the FBI to spy on the Trump campaign. And Biden's over there with Ukraine, got his son on a gas company making $50,000 a month. I don't see what Trump did wrong. He made a phone call to Ukraine and said, we need to clean up the corruption.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Your response, Dan Moldea.
I mean, what can I say? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of evidence to the contrary what this gentleman just said, and we're here reinventing the wheel. There has been absolutely no collusion with regard to Ukraine and the Democratic Party or Hillary Clinton, the most smeared person who's ever walked the earth. And I what can I say? This is a this is an unusual time where it's Alice in Wonderland. We are beyond the looking glass on this, where people believe such nonsense.
Well, Hunter Biden, what he did was probably wrong, no doubt about it. But right. What about what Jared Kushner
well, I mean, right,
has done?
I
Jared
say right
Kushner and Donald Trump Jr.
That.
And the Trump family certainly has been involved in business dealings with foreign powers.
Right.
All right. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Moldean,
yeah,
or whatever your name is, I can't believe
here
you abuse your freedom of speech calling a senator, a U.S. senator, a whore.
Well, let me call him a shameless whore, then. I'm sorry. Let me amend that to say he's a shameless whore, but go ahead.
A shameless whore. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're a hateful individual hating on President Trump based on everything that he has done and accomplished for us. How's
well, I don't share your enthusiasm for what you say he has done and what he's done for us. I think he's done irreparable damage to this country.
How's your 401k?
It's probably
not
doing...
So that's none of your business, well, and why don't you make your point?
The stock market, by the way, went up much more on a percentage basis under President Obama than it did, or it has, under President Trump. It's gone up under President Trump. It should always be at a record high. Every day it should be at a record high. But on a percentage basis, it's not doing as well as it did before. Allie in the Garden District. Allie, you're on with Dan. Hi, Allie. Good morning to you.
Hi. I just want to point out to the callers, it doesn't matter if you think Trump did this or not, if you think he colluded. The Constitution guarantees checks and balances here, and he is fighting tooth and nail to deny Congress their constitutional right of oversight. If
well
you care
said
about the Constitution whatsoever, if you care about it at all, you have to demand him to, one, participate, and two, just give them what they want. Stop blocking Bolton and the others.
All right. Thank you, Allie in the Garden District. Scott writes, for those Republicans complaining about the length of this impeachment process, they don't seem to have a problem with the endless hearings over Benghazi and Hillary Clinton, which lasted longer than the Warren Commission hearings and the investigations into Pearl Harbor and 9/11. That from Scott. And the Benghazi hearings did go on for a while. Dan Moldea, shall we switch to Jimmy Hoffa?
Please.
July 30th, 1975, he goes to the Red Fox Restaurant. Yes, that is correct. The Red Fox Restaurant outside Detroit. And he's never seen again. What happened to him? You think you may be on the trail of something substantial, and you've been on the trail a few times. How many digs, for example, have you been involved with through the years?
Six
digs for Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah,
and you've been there for all six.
I have, these are six that I did. These are apart from what the feds did. These are six that I participated, not where I did actual digs, but I did investigations of where Hoffa's body was. But I have never seen, you know, a piece of evidence. I've never seen what I have seen over the past few weeks, which has been recently reported. I mean, incredibly, as we've been talking here, and your guests have kind of gotten to know me a little bit where I am, I've been doing this investigation for Fox News because Fox News is the only game in town. Excuse me, when it comes to the Hoffa case, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, they're not doing anything with the Hoffa case, which is ridiculous since this movie, The Irishman, is out there, which is, you know, wonderful cinema, but horrible, horrible history. Basically, the Hoffa murder was a three-act drama with different characters in each act. As you point out, Jim, Hoffa goes to the Red Fox restaurant where he expects to meet two mafia guys, Tony Provenzano and Tony Giacalone. Neither man shows up. Instead, some people show up. Again, you'll get 100 different theories about this. I certainly have mine, which drive him into Act 2, where he is taken to a location. Again, you'll get 100 theories as to where he's taken. I have my theory as well, where he's murdered by, again, 100 different theories as to who murders him. I have mine. But then it goes into Act 3, where there is a firewall of information based on an informant named Ralph Picardo, who was doing 20 years at Trenton State Penitentiary for manslaughter. And he was very close to the whole Provenzano crowd, Tony Provenzano, once again, being one of the guys that Jimmy Hoffa expected to meet when he disappeared. So Picardo was visited by his friend, Steve Andretta, who allegedly was one of the co-conspirators in the Hoffa murder case. And this was 5 days after the murder. And he told Picardo, a guy who's in jail for 20 years, here's what happened. And essentially, he gave him some of the details. A lot of things he left out, but he gave him some of the details. But Picardo, I don't know why he waited so long, but about four or five months later, he wound up making a beeline to the nearest FBI agent and federal prosecutor, and he cut himself a deal. And he said that Steve Andretta had allegedly told him that Hoffa was murdered in Detroit, that he was stuffed into a 55-gallon drum, that he was loaded onto a Gateway transportation truck, and that he was shipped back to New Jersey. And when the FBI said, did Stevie say where Hoffa went in New Jersey? And the guy, Ralph Picardo, said, no, he didn't say. And they said, what do you think? And he says, when I was with the Provenzano crew, when somebody got whacked, they would stuff him in a 55-gallon drum, and they would drop him in Brother Moscato's dump, which is a landfill in the middle of Jersey City, New Jersey.
All right, we're going to pick up there. Dan Mulday has been to that landfill, which is not far from the Statue of Liberty, 3.5 miles to be exact. We'll return after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. On deck is John Dixon, head of the LSU Choral Program. Big performance coming at the Union Theater on Friday night, but we're wrapping it up with Dan Mulday, the exceptional reporter who through the years has done work that few, if any, American reporters can rival. The varied work he's done is amazing, and he's been on this Hoffa case from the start. 44 years ago, when Dan Mulday was 25 years old, he was trying to figure out what happened to James Riddle Hoffa. And now you believe that 3.5 miles northwest of the Statue of Liberty in Hackensack, New Jersey, or Jersey City, actually, Hackensack River is where it is,
right,
that the remains of Jimmy Hoffa may be there. How and when will we know?
How much time do I have? Do I have any time here?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
What happened was I went to Brother Moscato was the guy who owned this dump. He was a soldier in the Vito Genovese crime family. And I was doing an investigation of a crooked judge down in Florida, and I found that the person who was the payoff man for this judge was Brother Moscato. So I called him up, and I asked him if he'd see me, and he said, sure, come on up. So I drove up to New Jersey to see this gentleman, and this maid mafia guy, and he was very kind to me, and we talked. And I said, you know, after we got through the judge thing, in which he admitted, I said, you know, I first heard about you with the Hoffa case. He remembered I had written the book, The Hoffa Wars. So he says, I said, so tell me what happened in the Hoffa case. And he told me that Vito Giacalone, the brother of Tony Giacalone, who was the other guy Hoffa expected to meet, was driving the car that picked up Hoffa and drove him into Act Two, that Sal Bergoglio, whom Ralph Picardo had fingered as the likely trigger man, was in fact the guy who actually committed the murder. And finally, Moscato told me that Hoffa's body was buried at his dump, that he was buried at the landfill in Jersey City. So I stayed in touch with him until 2014, and then he died, and without giving me the whole story. And so I started cooperating or started working with members of his family. Fast forward 2019, the Moscato's dump was actually, it was like P&P, it was PJP, but really it was P&P Landfill. And it was Philip and Paul Landfill, Philip Moscato, Paul Coppola Landfill. And Paul Coppola was Philip's partner. Now, Phil was a made mafia guy. Paul was not. But he was accountable to the, you know, that power source that controlled the waste management industry. I got a call from Paul Coppola Jr., his son, who said, my brother knows exactly where Jimmy Hoffa was buried. So I said, please introduce me to him. It took about 5 months for me to finally get this interview set up. And we talked over a period throughout the month of September, and he gave me the same story every single time. I said, well, obviously we have to meet. We met up in New Jersey. We had dinner on Saturday night, September 28th. He said, I'm going to go to the dump tomorrow and see what the lay of the land is. And I said, you are taking me with you, which he did. He came to my hotel, picked me up. We went to the dump. This area was a very hard area to get into. And, you know, it was amazing that we got in. I had a body camera on. I was holding a camcorder. This is on September 29th. And he gives me a 45-minute tour of the area, culminating with the exact spot where Hoffa is buried. Now, this guy gave me detailed information as to how this came down. It was his father who actually buried Hoffa's body. When the body first came in, it was filled with rigor. They couldn't get him in feet first into the 55-gallon drum. And so they had to take him in head first and tumble him into the drum. Mm-hmm. He got a front loader. He put it in a 15-foot hole, and then he dropped 15 to 30 55-gallon drums on top of it. That is a sheet of metal that I think a person with a metal detector on the beach could probably detect. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get either the FBI or the DA's office in Hudson County, New Jersey, to step in and do what needs to be done. Because we are engaged in criminal trespass by going onto this property. There's mafia property all over the place. I wasn't afraid so much of getting whacked when we were there, but I was afraid of getting arrested. And what we need is the cooperation of law enforcement to help us finish this. We believe we can solve this case. I have pushed all in on this lead.
All right,
and the guy has executed a sworn statement, and he's also agreed to take a polygraph test. Like I said, I'm all in on this one.
All right, and you've been following this for 44 years. Major story about this, if you'd like to go online, in the Detroit Free Press about Dan Moldea in this new revelation regarding the disappearance of James Riddle Hoffa. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. 10 o'clock, we're going to the special coverage of the House Judiciary Committee. WRKF is your source for special coverage of the events of our time, and it is made possible through support from you, our members, you. So please help make continuing programming possible with your year-end gift. And obviously, we're a little bit short this year. We wouldn't be calling on you in December, so we need to hear from you. Whatever amount you can contribute, please do so. 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And please donate to WRKF, 855-893-9753.